That is Chris Richards and the Subtractions with Half Asleep. And before that, new music from Lanny Flowers, Lost in a Daydream. That is just about going to do it for me. This has been DJ Chris Wired. I want to thank you for listening to Breakfast for Dinner. As a reminder, there's a rebroadcast of the Sunday night edition. The rebroadcast is Thursdays from 1 to 2. So if you want to listen to it again, or if you miss it on Sundays, there's always a chance to catch up on it. Anyway, thanks for listening. Hope you tune in again next time. I'm going to leave you with actually new Hoodoo Gurus. They have a new album, actually, I think it came out towards the end of 2021. Chariot of the Gods. This is Get Out of Dodge.
Town. No one likes us here. They made that oh so clear. This town is narrow-minded. The people here are blinded by hate. They won't meet you in the middle, and we found out a little too late. So don't wait. So run. We gotta cut out and run. We gotta get out of touch. And beat the setting sun. Now it's been fun, but it's over and done. We gotta get out of touch before the sheriff comes. Most folks think that I'm living some life of crime, but I done nothing wrong, so I'll keep singing my own sweet song.
This is WRCT Pittsburgh.
We have the latest inflation numbers.
Would you like to take the sounds of your favorite radio station to places you never thought possible? Well, now you can, because WRCT is live on the internet. Just point your browser to www.wrct.org and click on our live MP3 broadcast. Now you can go out of town without any feelings of loss or regret for leaving us behind, because we're just a mouse click away. WRCT, live on the internet. Because why should Pittsburgh have all the fun?
Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
The Russian invasion of Ukraine continues, and I want to get everybody up to speed there before we move on to other things. And as always, when we say we have a report of something, that's what we mean. We have a report of something, and we always are waiting for, hoping for confirmation of more details, and just something important to keep in mind when there are assertions made in the fog of war. Sometimes the truth ends up being slightly different, and that is certainly what Russia is hoping for, because of an absolutely disastrous headline: 60 people killed after bomb hits school, Volodymyr Zelensky, the Ukrainian president, says. This is a BBC report. Around 60 people were killed after a bomb hit a school in East Ukraine, says President Zelensky. Earlier, the governor of the Luhansk region, Serhii Haidai, said 90 people had been sheltering in the building and 30 were rescued. Mr. Haidai said a Russian plane dropped the bomb on Saturday. Russia has not commented. Luhansk has seen fierce combat as Russian troops and separatist fighters seek to surround government forces. Much of the region has been under the control of Russia-backed separatists for the past 8 years. Now, that detail is much of what's being used to say Russia would never do this. That's a region their separatist fighters have been in for so long. But if we've learned one thing in the last few weeks, it's even things that lots of people say Russia would never do, then Russia does. And so I don't think we can go by that at all. We also are waiting sort of anxiously to figure out what is it that might happen on Russia's so-called Victory Day today, May 9th. And by the time that today's episode goes live, you may know more about this than we know right now. An NBC News article asks, what does Putin have planned on Russia's Victory Day? Experts say that after 2 months of thwarted offensives, Putin is left with limited options, from an all-out mobilization to simply declaring victory in the eastern Donbas region. Now, that's an interesting idea that's being brought up, which is we don't know Putin's emotional state. We don't know, again, increasingly more and more reports about Putin's ill health. We don't know whether he is sort of in some kind of unhinged last attempt at reconstructing the Soviet Union in some kind of idealized way. We just don't know what he is capable of and interested in. But one idea that would be a face-saving idea, absent a victory so far when it comes to Ukraine at large, would be to say, hey, you know what? We did it in the sense that we've now really solidified control of the eastern Donbas region. And even though we didn't take Kyiv and some other places further into Ukraine, pointing west from Russia, really this was the goal and we did it and we won. We took the Donbas region. And of course, it wouldn't be completely true, but it would at least be more true than they took all of Ukraine, which certainly Russia has not done. So that would be a kind of face-saving way for Putin maybe to start kind of backing up. But again, we just don't know. A few other interesting notes from the article, which says Monday is shaping up to be a pivotal day for Ukraine. Known as Victory Day in Russia, May 9th is a national holiday commemorating the Soviet Union's defeat of Nazi Germany in World War II, typically marked by an elaborate military parade in Moscow's Red Square, surveyed by senior Kremlin officials. A little North Korea-like, yes, for sure. Western officials have voiced concerns that Putin will use the occasion to officially declare war on Ukraine, which Russia invaded in February. Experts say that after more than 2 months of thwarted offensives, Putin is left with limited options, as I said. an all-out mobilization or simply declaring victory in the eastern Donbas region. Now, on the declare war thing, we talked a little bit about declare war last week during a live stream. As this article restates, Putin spokesman Dmitry Peskov denied that a war declaration was imminent, insisting the invasion remained a, quote, special military operation. That may be a nominal difference, as the article points out, since Russia has mobilized air, ground, and naval forces across vast areas of Ukraine. But declaring war would allow Putin to call up additional army reservists and more people and could prolong this for certainly months, if not years. So at the end of the day, we don't know what is coming in the next 24 hours. By the time today's episode is out, you may know more than I know right now, and we'll follow up on that tomorrow. But no matter what, I mean, in the best case where Putin says we won in the sense that we got Donbas, there are going to be hostilities months or years for sure. And what this means for the people of Ukraine can't possibly be particularly good. So we're going to make an effort this week to make sure we stay on this story. There have been so many other things that have happened in the last month, at the same time as there has been a sort of continued steady level of hostilities in Ukraine, which often when things become normalized, like, for example, kids dying of hunger every day all over the world, it becomes less of a corporate news grab because corporate news stories tend to have a nice, clean beginning, middle and end. And if we just remain in the middle for a long time, sort of like happened with COVID, as I said, happens with hunger around the world, it starts to come out of the news, and that's something we're going to try to push back against. So last week, after we learned of the imminent overturning of Roe v. Wade by the Supreme Court, thanks to this leaked decision, we still don't know who leaked it, and we'll talk about that later. One of the things I and some others said is they're not going to stop at just abortion. You don't stop after your biggest victory, arguably in decades. You say, what else can I get? You've gotten an inch, so you try to take a mile. Really, you've gotten a mile, so you try to take 10 miles. And some of you wrote to me and said, David, I just don't see it. I was confronted by some callers last week saying, David, this isn't going to happen. And as I said last week, I don't literally believe that they're going to try to ban interracial marriage anytime soon. I mentioned a number of different areas that they might focus: contraception, gay marriage, all these other things. And sure, there are people who are against abortion who also happen to be against interracial marriage. We know that because we just know about demographics and statistics in the United States. And over the weekend, in just a 2-day period, we are already seeing them push beyond this in two different cases. Let's look at each of these examples. First and foremost, Jake Tapper on CNN interviewed Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves, which Tate Reeves and Mississippi are at the core of this anti-abortion push. Mississippi passing one of the most, if not the most restrictive abortion bill in the country, which is now the subject and the appeal matter for the Supreme Court in the decision that will likely overturn Roe v. Wade. And Jake Tapper asked Tate Reeves, OK, well, what about banning Plan B, sometimes known as the morning after pill? What about banning IUDs? These are intrauterine devices. It's a form of birth control that is available to people if they prefer that over the pill or whatever else. So are you going to push for that? And Tate Reeves doesn't say, no, we're not interested in that. Tate Reeves very coyly says, we're not focused on that right now, which means we're leaving the door open to do exactly that.
All we have is a leaked draft. We don't have a final.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree
on the matter.
But just to be clear, the state of Mississippi, you're not going to then target IUD or Plan B, which are methods of birth control that might not allow a fertilized egg to be implanted. And this is not a theoretical construct. This is not the state of Louisiana, which I recognize is a neighboring state, not your state. I mean, they're talking about not only criminally charging girls and women who get abortions as being committing homicide, but they're also talking about defining the moment of conception as fertilization, which would theoretically, if this were to become the law of Louisiana, and it is not yet, mean that murder, if you use an IUD, you're committing murder theoretically. So it's not I'm not making this up. These are the conversations going on in legislatures in your area. But so just to be clear, you have no intention of seeking to ban IUDs or Plan B.
That is not what we're focused on at this time. We're focused on...
That is not... So the question was, you have no plan to ban these things. And he says, that is not what we are focused on at this time. We know enough about how politicians speak that we can understand what that means. And then Texas Governor Greg Abbott, he's also reinvigorated and full of energy for banning more things on the news of this Roe v. Wade decision, forthcoming decision. He says, well, listen... Now that we've gotten this Roe v. Wade thing, we are going to look at challenging a Supreme Court ruling as well, which protects the right to free public education for every kid, including kids with undocumented parents. Right now, if you're a kid and your parents are undocumented, so the Supreme Court has decided you still have access to public schooling. Supreme Court decision. Greg Abbott says we're going to look at overturning that.
Know this, and that is Texas already long ago sued the federal government about having to incur the cost of that education program.
Yes.
It's a case called Plyler versus Doe, and the Supreme Court ruled against us on the issue about denying, or let's say Texas having to bear that burden. I think we will resurrect that case and challenge this issue again because the expenses are extraordinary.
There it is. I mean, they are invigorated and rightly so. Plan B and IUDs could be next in Mississippi. Taking away schooling from the children of undocumented immigrants is on the agenda in Texas, and they are rightly invigorated. Again, this if I were them and I just got arguably one of the biggest political victories in decades, I would be feeling pretty damn invigorated as well. And I'd be saying, well, what else we can do? What else can we do? Where else can we go with this? And they are going places. Interracial marriage, yeah, maybe not. Maybe not. But these are areas they are definitely going. Dangerous times. We have Memorial Day coming up. On Monday, Memorial Day, May 30, we are going to be running a blowout membership special that is going to absolutely rock your socks off. Knock your socks off? Wow. Smack your socks off? I don't even know. I'm so fired up by it. And it's going to be fantastic. Alex Jones is furious about it.
Oh, the bonus show where you want to make money, but everybody else that makes money to fund themselves is bad.
Incredible. If you want to take advantage of this historic membership discount to really get us ready for the midterms, please sign up for my newsletter at davidpakman.com. And on Monday, Memorial Day, you'll get an email telling you how to sign up. Last week, after the forthcoming Roe v. Wade decision from the Supreme Court leaked, there was immediately speculation about who did the leaking. Now, much of the speculation was really in bad faith. It was right wingers arguing that the real problem here is that there was a leak rather than the fact that women's rights are going to be potentially set back by decades, thanks to a number of activist judges placed on the Supreme Court by failed former President Donald Trump. So the issue isn't actually the leaker. But the right wanted to make the leaker the issue, and the right immediately said, obviously, this is a left-wing leaker who wants to pressure justices to change their votes to keep Roe v. Wade by making them fear for their lives and blah, 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 you know, followed from there. And as I said last week, we don't know the political orientation of the leaker. There are two at least equally plausible explanations. One is the leaker is on the left. The leaker is pro-choice. And the idea of the leaker was, I'm going to leak this now so that the justices planning to vote to overturn Roe v. Wade will be pressured and they will be harassed and they might fear for their lives. And they'll say, okay, I'll keep Roe v. Wade. Now, these are appointments for life. Supreme Court justices have great security. It's not super likely that that is actually the case, but it is a possibility. Just as likely is the opposite. And again, we didn't know one way or the other, but just as likely is the hypothesis that the leaker is right wing. Why would a right winger leak the decision? A right winger would leak the decision to make sure that by making the expected votes public, none of the justices that are at least as of the February draft, planning to vote to overturn Roe v. Wade, changed their minds. Imagine that, I don't know, Kavanaugh was on the overturn Roe side back in February when the draft was written, but since is thinking, you know, maybe I should vote to keep it. The idea would be a right winger leaks it to put pressure on those justices not to change their votes. Either one is possible. But now we are actually getting more and more information that the right wing leaker scenario is the more probable one. Nina Totenberg, who is a longtime Supreme Court reporter, says actually the main theory now is that this was a right wing clerk who leaked this. Take a listen.
In covering the court since the early days of Roe, how much has this leak rattled the institution and the way it's viewed?
Well, the way it's viewed, it's an earthquake. And I think within the court itself, it's an earthquake. There has never been a leak like this. There have been minor little springs that have emerged from the court. Reports of a tentative vote or misbehavior by one justice back in the 50s, 60s, 70s. There were leaks, those kinds of leaks, but never an entire draft of a majority opinion. That has never, ever occurred before. And it can only, in all likelihood, have come from a justice that I think is less likely, perhaps one of the clerks, and the leading theory is a conservative clerk who was afraid that one of the conservatives might be persuaded by Chief Justice Roberts and to join a much more moderate opinion. And then there's another theory that it was an outraged liberal clerk. But I think the only one that makes sense is that it came from somebody who was afraid that this majority might not hold, that Chief Justice Roberts might persuade one of the conservatives to come over to him.
So this type of reporting is increasingly pointing to a right winger. Now, we may never know, but remember, Ted Cruz and others were saying jail the leaker. They were assuming it was a liberal and they were saying you got to jail them. Ted Cruz actually went on Fox News and said the leaker should be jailed. Remember this?
The reason it was leaked is some left wing, presumably law clerk, wanted to put political pressure on the five justices that presumably are in the majority right now. They wanted to put heat and they wanted to invoke politics to try to get them to change their vote. Yep. And by the way, if that left-wing law clerk succeeds, it will be the most grotesque politicization of the Supreme Court in the history of our nation. Well, you mentioned an FBI investigation. I hope there is a serious one, and I hope whoever is responsible for this not only is fired instantly, but is prosecuted and serves real jail time for violating the confidences of the Supreme Court.
And then the last real liberal, by which I mean a right-wing reactionary, Tulsi Gabbard, she went on TV and also said, we've got to prosecute in jail. But what's the crime, Tulsi? She didn't say.
To be heard. I think it's also critical to point out that this leak sets a very, very dangerous precedent for our Supreme Court for three important reasons. Number one is, first of all, this person is a thief who stole this information, released it with a very specific intent to try to incite protesters and intimidate and pressure our Supreme Court justices to make a political decision rather than a decision that is based on the Constitution. Number two, we have the fact that, you know, the Supreme Court is not in place to legislate from the bench. People's representatives at the state level, at the federal level, are charged to make laws, not the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court needs to make decisions based on the Constitution. And the Department of Justice, lastly, needs to go and prosecute this crime, which is exactly what it is, and make an example out of the person who leaked this information, because our Supreme Court justices cannot operate under the fear that they will have partisan political activists in their house intimidating and threatening their ability to do their job per the Constitution.
And there was
do they still want them jailed if it is a right winger? But more importantly, will we ever actually find out who did it? I don't know that we will. The Trump rallies are becoming increasingly politically relevant as they are now regularly meant to support 2022 candidates. Now, I was the first to tell you last week Trump got two wins, J.D. Vance in Ohio, as well as what was the other one? Now, J.R. Majewski in Michigan, who I interviewed, I should remember him. Trump endorsed two people and they won. But now we have a new challenge, which is Dr. Mehmet Oz, who is running for the Senate in Pennsylvania. Trump has endorsed him. A lot of Republicans don't like Oz. And the most notable thing, the most notable thing about Trump's rally in support of Dr. Oz over the weekend was not only that the crowd sometimes booed Dr. Oz, but that Trump seemed visibly disoriented and his speech was extremely confused. Now, we've gotten used to the glitches from Trump. Like, you might remember when Trump got his own name wrong at a rally.
Then he went, Donald Trump, yeah, Donald Trump.
When Trump got Obama's name wrong at a rally.
Obama.
When Trump got the name of Mexico wrong at a rally.
Mexico. And
when Trump got Mitt Romney's name wrong at a rally.
A rhino named Mitt Romney.
When Trump got the name of someone he endorsed wrong at a rally.
We've endorsed JP, right? J.D. Mandel.
When Trump got the name of his own social media platform wrong at a rally.
Truth Central.
Okay, so, but here Trump actually seemed confused about ideas. For example, in this first clip, Trump says Pennsylvania is where our founding fathers declared American energy independence. What? What?
Pennsylvania is the Commonwealth where our founding fathers declared American energy independence. Think of that. You were the first ones many, many, many years ago.
I don't know what he's talking about. Maybe he just means that Philadelphia is where independence was declared, but energy independence is not making a lot of sense. Visibly disoriented, seemed almost punch drunk. Then at another moment, Trump says that if Dr. Oz wins, his wife will be the first lady of Pennsylvania, but Oz is running for Senate, not for governor.
I could have had, and by the way, your wife is so incredible. You're going to get a great first lady in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. You're going to get
what?
A first lady. I know her well. She's incredible. And does she love her family, her husband and her family?
So. Yeah. So anyway, Oz is running for Senate. Not, I guess if it was the governorship, you might say the first lady of Pennsylvania, but all very strange. At another point, Trump seeming to be kind of impressed in some way that maybe Oz's TV show gets him girls. I mean, this is just strange stuff.
I've known him a long time. His show is great. He's in that. He's on that screen. He's in the bedrooms of all those women telling them good and bad. And they love him. He came into a place where we had a lot of women sitting there waiting for something unrelated. They started going crazy. Is that Dr. Oz? That's Dr. Oz.
Yeah. So Trump seemingly jealous, I guess, of the effect that Oz's show has on women. Now, in all seriousness, the entire rally was supposed to be for Oz. And there was actually quite a bit of booing whenever his name would come up. It doesn't seem the Trump crowd is necessarily sold on Oz.
My friend, Dr. Mehmet Oz, he's a great man.
And even a bunch of people interviewed before the rally said, I am not sold on Oz here. Trump did an impression of a rocket ship at one point.
We endorsed J.D. and he was like a rocket ship. He went boing.
Boing. And then at another point, he came very close to calling Mitch McConnell a POS, which I love, quite frankly. I think the more that these people can fight amongst themselves, the better.
Mitch McConnell is the least popular politician in the country, according to the. No, he's an old, broken down crow. I want to be nice. I don't want to call. Oh, I wanted to have. I had that word right. I just want, but I couldn't do it. I'd go home and the first lady would say, why did you use that foul language, darling? I love you so much, but why did you use it? He's an old broken down piece of crow.
Yeah, a piece of crow. And then just some surreal Kafka-esque moments. And at one point, a speaker brought up by Trump referred to him as Jonald. Jonald Trump.
President Jonald J. Trump to thank for that. He gave me three shout outs. I spoke at two of the rallies. I led the pledge. It was
really quite a cast of characters. When Mehmet Oz spoke, it was pouring. He was soaking wet. And he talked about keeping the borders clean, which I don't even know what that means.
Faith and we'll fight back. I won the fight, China.
China.
We fight for our kids in our schools. Yeah. Are you going to fight back to keep our borders clean? You got to fight back the.
Yeah, you got to keep those borders clean, maybe with like an injection almost of bleach or something like that. And then maybe the most surreal moment, Dinesh D'Souza spoke. He has like a new, I can't even call it a documentary because it's all BS. He has a new series of stitched together audio visual bits, I guess is what we can call it. And he has developed the term ballot trafficking. It's not a term I've heard before. He may be using the same random word generator that Trump uses. But here he is. Listen to this.
And paid ballot trafficking. In some states, it is legal to give someone else your ballot and have them drop it off. Usually the conditions of that are kind of specified. They're clear. In Georgia, for example, you can give your ballot to a family member. Or if you're in a confined facility, you can give it to a caregiver.
And as you can see, just an incredibly riveting speaker, the people on stage right behind Dinesh talking amongst themselves, many of them not even facing Dinesh. Very, very strange stuff. And lastly, it's not a Trump rally until Trump literally leaves you stranded in the mud. Here is video of with YMCA playing. Listen to this. Leaving in the mud, trying to get around barriers. It's completely flooded. Trump got the hell out of there. And it is a classic at these rallies. Horrible conditions, people getting stuck sometimes for hours, and just really a display of the absolute worst, worst, worst of American culture and politics. So the question will be, does Oz win the primary with Trump's endorsement? Because this one doesn't seem to be going quite as well as some of the others. We'll have these clips on our Instagram. Make sure you're following us there at David Pakman Show. An extraordinarily disturbing story broke over the weekend about the failed former president, Donald Trump. And, you know, one of the things I said was, it's going to take us a long time to learn the full scope of the danger that happened during those very dark 4 years in American history. And we are learning something new almost every single week. The new report is, per Donald Trump's former Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper, Trump wanted to bomb Mexico. You'd think, well, but David, there must be more. Yeah, there's more, but that's basically the story. Trump wanted to send missiles to Mexico to attack the drug cartels and then maybe just kind of like say it wasn't us and pretend he didn't do it and be like, I don't know, maybe, you know, maybe it was Canada. I don't really know. Here is Mark Esper on 60 Minutes last night telling this disturbing story.
The president pulls me aside on at least a couple occasions and suggests that maybe we have the U.S. military shoot missiles into Mexico.
Shoot missiles into Mexico for what?
He would say to go after the cartels. And we would have this private discussion where I'd say, Mr. President, I understand.
Mr. President, sir, bad idea.
The motive, because he was very serious about dealing with drugs in America. I get that. We all understand. But I had to explain to him, we can't do that. It would violate international law. It would be terrible for our neighbors to the south. It would, you know, impact us in so many ways.
Here's the reasons why bombing Mexico it's a bad idea.
Ace, why don't we do this instead?
You politely push back on the idea. Did President Trump really say no one would know it was us?
Yes. Yes, he said that. And I just thought,
let's paint the missiles the color of the Guatemalan flag. And then they'll say, well, this must have been Guatemala.
It's fanciful, right? Because of course it would be us. I was reluctant to tell this story because I thought people won't believe this, that they'll think.
Well, so he was reluctant to tell it until he could make money from it, at which point he put it in a book. And all of these guys and gals do that. They all do that. And that we've talked about before.
I'm just making it up. And folks in Trump's orbit will dispute it. And then I was having dinner after the election in 2020 with a fellow cabinet member. And he said to me, he goes, you know, remember that time when President Trump suggested you shoot missiles into Mexico? And I said to him, you heard that? He goes, oh, yeah, I couldn't believe it. And I couldn't believe how well you managed and talked him down from that. And at that moment, I knew I got to write the story because I at least have one witness who will verify that this really did happen.
Now, Trump is not denying this, and we're going to get to that in a little bit. But think about this. What, in a sense, we're a super progressive country, right? We elected the first completely unqualified, dangerously psychopathically narcissistic, cognitively compromised president. Now, maybe we didn't, but there's been others, not in the United States. But this has to be on the top 10 list of wildest ideas. I mean, we've got he wanted to nuke a hurricane. He wanted to inject bleach to kill COVID, bombing Mexico, flushing presidential records down the toilet, eating presidential records, saying we're going to get Mexico to pay for a wall across the entire southern border. Yeah. What? I don't know exactly what else would be on the top 10 list, but this absolutely would. And just as we predicted every week, we learned the presidency was even more dangerous than we ever knew at the time. And by the way, and this is where I want to go next, Trump is not denying that he wanted to bomb Mexico, which means he did want to do it. And that's what I want to discuss with you next. So, Trump former Secretary of Defense Mark Esper writes in his book and goes on 60 Minutes and says Trump wanted to bomb Mexico. And here's how I talked him out of it. And there's other witnesses that heard that as well. Well, certainly Trump is going to deny it, right? Trump does not deny it, which means he did it. Donald Trump, in response to Mark Esper's book and the 60 Minutes interview, put out a sort of Q&A, and we're going to look at it right now. And it is one of the most deranged documents I've maybe ever seen from a president. It's a Q&A. First question. During a June 1, 2020 meeting at the White House, the cabinet was debating what to do about protests and civil unrest. Mark Esper says President Trump wanted to shoot some of the protesters in the legs. A lot of foul language was used and accused President Trump of calling members of the cabinet effing losers. Trump's response. This is a complete lie and 10 witnesses can back it up. Well, who are they and can we talk to them? Mark Esper was weak and totally ineffective. And because of it, I had to run the military. I took out ISIS, Qasem Soleimani, al-Baghdadi, rebuilt the military with $2.5 trillion, created space farce and so much more. Mark Esper was a stiff who was so desperate not to lose his job. He would do anything I wanted. That's why I called him Yesper. He was a lightweight and figurehead, and I realized it early on. He was recommended to me by some very weak rhinos, and that is what he turned out to be. Now, this is a typical Trump lie. Like, I don't believe him as far as I can throw him. But more importantly, Trump keeps having to go out and say, well, Bolton was a lightweight. Esper was a lightweight. Tillerson was, you know, all these people. Trump ran on, I'm going to hire the best people and I'm the best at picking folks. And yet he was snowed by rhinos and hired all the wrong people. That's weird. Next question to Trump. President Trump wanted to send 10,000 active duty troops into D.C. after St. John's Church was set on fire. Trump's response, wrong. I wanted to send at least 10,000 troops for January 6th because I knew people were coming to protest the corrupt presidential election. Pelosi and the D.C. mayor turned me down. 60 Minutes should ask them why they chose not to have proper security. And remember, as we know, on that day, all sorts of people, including Ivanka, were saying he's got to bring in the National Guard. And he didn't do that for hours. Second, a couple last questions here. Later in a meeting at the White House, President Trump contended that his Secretary of Defense had taken away his authority on the Insurrection Act and didn't believe he could invoke it anymore. This is fake news. The fact is, I didn't need to invoke the act and never did. And lastly, we can skip to the last question. On a couple of occasions, President Trump suggested to Esper they, quote, attack the drug cartels with missiles, meaning bomb Mexico. Trump's response is no comment. No comment. That means he did it. That means he did it. And, you know, we're it's almost beyond words. We are dealing with a complete and total lunatic. This guy would be in a business where national security isn't at stake, you know, running a construction company, running a restaurant, running an accounting firm, anywhere. People would say this person is impossible to deal with. He's completely disconnected from reality. He is making it impossible for anybody to do their jobs, and it's bad. And that person has been put in charge or was put in charge of running the entire country, a complete and total dangerous, narcissistic lunatic. And we continue to learn more every single week. one other thing that I want to go back to here. If everybody that he hired ended up being, they were losers, they were idiots, they're lying, they're rhino traitors, you know, Pence did the wrong stuff, he didn't overturn the election, and William Barr wasn't willing to take legal action Trump wanted him to take on the election, and Esper was just a yes man, and then, you know, Mark Milley was a woke general, and Bolton is a loser, on and on and on. What does it say about Trump's judgment that he continually appointed these so-called losers to the highest offices in the land to do some of the most important functions that a president needs to appoint people to do? It doesn't speak particularly well to "I will work with only the best people." It is bonkers. It is absolutely bonkers. We're going to take a quick break and be back right after this. Stay with us. All right. So I got tricked by a Trumpist and I'm going to tell you about it. And I think this is really instructive and informative. So last week when we were taking live calls on the Friday show, I got a call from a guy who says, "I used to be a moderator for The Donald." The Donald, that's the underscore Donald, was one of the most toxic pro-Trump subreddits on the website Reddit until it got banned. The entire thing was banned for just constant disinformation and violating, you know, all sorts of terms of service of Reddit. And during that call, this Trumpist moderator said to me, "Hey, David, you know, now they are promoting the use of misoprostol for abortions, and it's just as unproven as ivermectin. So isn't there a double standard on social media?" And here's exactly what he said and how I responded to it. Let's go next to let's go to Rich from Illinois. Rich, welcome.
Hi, David.
Hello.
So I was the top mod of the Donald on Reddit for years until just before it was banned. And with Elon buying Twitter, do you think that there will be a general shift in policy for the tech places towards allowing things like medical misinformation such as ivermectin, and what Vice's motherboard did yesterday with tweeting out the misoprostol for abortion pills?
What's the Vice thing? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so they tweeted out from their motherboard account that misoprostol, which is a horse medicine to treat ulcers for horses, can be used for abortion pills.
Oh, I see that now. Yeah. Okay, so let's go step by step. First, I actually discussed this with Coleman Hughes in an already recorded but not yet released podcast episode with him. I actually don't think that Elon Musk taking over Twitter, if it happens — remember, it's still not been approved, and I think it may not be, but we'll wait and see — I don't think it's going to do anything mind-blowing on Twitter per se. I think maybe some people will be unbanned, maybe not. I don't know that he is widely going to be involved in content moderation. So I'm not making any big judgments about what's going to change on Twitter. Let's first wait and see if the buyout actually happens, and then we'll kind of think about that part. In terms of, I don't know much about this misoprostol thing, but I also don't know whether this is an approved off-label use or not. I don't know anything about it, but let me just say right now, all of this stuff should be subject to the same scrutiny, whether it's being promoted by left or right. I think it all should be subjected to the exact same terms of service.
Okay, that's good.
So I responded in principle because I didn't know anything about misoprostol. I just hadn't heard it. I hadn't heard about it up until this point. And I said, well, if the circumstances are the same, if misoprostol is really to abortion what ivermectin is to COVID, if they really are equivalent, then it should be handled the same by social media. But it turns out that the Trumpist either lied to me or just was ignorant himself, because a bunch of doctors and pharmacists emailed me and said, "David, you got tricked. There is no similarity between ivermectin and misoprostol. Let's look at some of these emails that I got. Here's the first one. I'm a medical doctor, family medicine. As part of my job, I delivered babies for 7 years. I just watched your interview with the ex-The Donald moderator. Misoprostol, more commonly called Cytotec in the U.S., is an extremely commonly used drug in humans. We use it to help induce labor and can be used to cause an abortion in the first trimester by dilating the cervix and allowing the product of conception to fall out. I've never performed an abortion, so my knowledge base on that is limited, but I've used Cytotec to induce labor hundreds of times. To compare it to ivermectin is a mistake. That's one medical doctor. Another medical doctor wrote in, "Hi, David, huge fan, listening to the Friday Collins, wanted to share that misoprostol is indeed approved for human use, has the U.S. brand named Cyrotec." So it's either Cytotec or Cyrotec. There's the disagreement on that, but clearly we're talking about the same medication. "Used by OBGYNs for inducing miscarriage slash abortion. Used to help women pass a partial miscarriage. Used to induce labor during the third trimester, and also used for prevention of NSAID-induced ulcers. His idea that it's a horse medicine and not a human one is not true. It is used for both, as is ivermectin. I am an internal medicine physician, so I don't personally use it often. An obstetrician could provide more details about when and how they use it. I have prescribed it to patients for ulcer prevention." That's Dr. Isaac. And then a pharmacist wrote in who said, "You recently took a call from a former The Donald moderator who mischaracterizes misoprostol as a horse medicine to treat ulcer for horses and not approved for humans in an attempt to liken its promotion to that of ivermectin for the treatment of COVID. Misoprostol is both FDA approved for human use and indicated as an abortion drug and has been proven to be both safe and efficacious for this indication. The same can't be said for ivermectin and the treatment of COVID. While I can't in good consciousness recommend or promote people taking a prescription strength drug absent supervision of a licensed medical professional, this equivalency is patently false and misleading." That's Kyle, the pharmacist. So listen, you tricked me, the Donald moderator. Maybe. I mean, maybe the guy knew that it was a false equivalency. But, you know, the important things here is, OK, ivermectin, sometimes used in horses, sometimes used in humans. Misoprostol, sometimes used in animals, sometimes used in humans. Ivermectin, not okay to use for COVID based on randomized controlled trials. Misoprostol, regularly used as an abortion drug in humans. So not the same thing. And this is why, you know, I said, and this is why we should never go beyond what we know. And so when the ivermectin people started with the ivermectin stuff, it wouldn't have been right for me to say, it doesn't work for COVID. It will never be shown to work for COVID. Maybe it does, and it hasn't been shown yet. Maybe someday it will be shown to work for COVID. What I knew at the time was, we don't have any good science right now that says ivermectin works for COVID. And so let's be thoughtful when we make claim that it's actually not going further than what we know at the time. On the other hand, when it comes to something like misoprostol, which I knew nothing about, I responded and said, I don't know a thing about that in particular. If the circumstances are the same as ivermectin, then it should be handled in the same way by social media companies. It turned out later, it is not at all the same thing. So hopefully an instructive moment for all of us. I want to play a clip for you of former Trump National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. He believes, or at least claims to believe, that 5G mobile phone technology, mobile data technology, is going to sort of trigger or flip a switch in a pathogen that was injected into our bodies through the COVID vaccine. I know that's crazy. It's completely nuts. Let's listen to the clip. This is a clip from, what is this from? This is Real America's, is this Real America's Voice? This is Reawaken America, presented by American Faith, and Clay Clark is interviewing Michael Flynn, and I dare you to follow this and make sense of it. I dare you to understand what the hell they're talking about. Check this out.
"And now it has become common knowledge that the lipid nanoparticles found inside the COVID-19 vaccine can carry pathogens that can be activated with the right frequency being sent to them." So
okay, so so far, what's being asserted, I think, is lipid nanoparticles in the vaccine get injected, and then if they are subjected to the right frequency. So could be a radio wave, could be UV light, or could be 5G. Then they become activated. Okay, let's continue.
There's a terrifying time to be an American. Sir, how do you process this, and what would you encourage our listeners to do today, sir?
Well, I mean, number one, because this pathogen that you just talked about, I think that then there's some great articles written about how it relates to the 5G technology that is being input basically globally. But my statement is that because this is a good versus evil time, it right. is actually one of the most consequential periods in history to be alive.
But they're talking out loud that lipid nanoparticles in the shots contain pathogens.
Preparing for that.
Here we go. Backing it up. Here we go.
We know that Marburg is not particularly contagious, but it has an extraordinarily high rate of fatality.
Now, for people who don't know about Marburg, this is to take a break from the insanity. Ebola is part of a group of viruses called, I believe the term is filoviruses. And filo, I think the root means string in Latin. And the reason that they call Ebola and Marburg filoviruses is because under a microscope, they sort of look like strings. If you're interested in learning about the history of Ebola and Marburg, I can highly recommend the nonfiction book, The Hot Zone. Very, very interesting book. Marburg is a real thing. It's related to Ebola. But these people don't know what the hell they're talking about.
And we know the mechanism by which this will be released. And that is inside of these shots that people already received, inside the lipid nanoparticles, the hydrogel, there exists pathogens inside of the particles that have not yet opened. Those pathogens are chimeric. They include E. coli, Marburg, Ebola staphylococcus, and Brewer's yeast, amongst others.
Yeah, Brewer's yeast. I am actually worried because there's yeast in there. I'm worried that my forearm is going to turn into a beautiful pumpernickel and I'll have no choice to put pastrami and mustard on it. And it's going to be horrible.
We know that upon the broadcast from the 5G system that is now employed across the United States and the world for that matter, when they broadcast an 18 gigahertz signal for 1 minute, three different times.
So you guys heard that, right? It's three pulses at 18 gigahertz within a minute. That's the it's almost like a Morse code.
As a pulse, it will cause those lipid nanoparticles to swell and release these pathogenic contents, thereby causing a Marburg epidemic.
Oh, so it's Marburg that's in my arm. Jeez.
Already spent the money on. It's already done, right? The Marburg epidemic, for purposes of the law, has happened. And now we just need the actual disaster to happen. And,
wow.
And there's actually worse parts to it than that, including the 1p36 gene deletion.
Yeah. This isn't even the worst part of it. Those nanoparticles must have some amazing batteries because my phone won't even last 2 days if I don't charge it. And somehow these particles have been dormant from the vaccine I got a year ago, and they're ready to be activated by 5G. The logical conclusion, of course, is that Donald Trump is also going to become a sort of Marburg zombie, right? Because why would Trump do that to himself? He made the vaccines and gave them to himself to then be turned into a 5G Marburg zombie? This is really crazy stuff. And does Michael Flynn believe it, or has he been pulled into some kind of vortex where he's just around crazy people and he has to go with it? I don't know. And this goes from the same. This is along the lines of the vaccines will magnetize you. But that almost seems so quaint compared to this, that the vaccines will magnetize you is almost not crazy enough compared to the stuff that they've come up with. So strange times that we live in, for sure. And I have to admit, since I got boosted, the crema on my espresso machine when I pull a shot, it is better. I have to tell you, it is better. And I don't know if the two are related or not, but very, very crazy stuff. We have a voicemail number, and that number is 219-2-DAVID-P. I recently appeared on a program called Trigonometry, where I went two-on-one with some right-wing British hosts. And at a certain point during that, they brought up the question of the definition of a woman. one of our viewers didn't like that it was me and two other dudes sitting around talking about the definition of a woman. Listen to what she had to say.
David, it's Susan from Chicago. I'm not happy with you right now. I just watched a video or part of video of you with two other guys sitting around discussing what is a woman. What's wrong with you today? In what world does that make sense? I mean, seriously, dude. I watch you every day, and I'm just watching this, and my mind is blown. Do with it what you will. Peace out. Bye.
Listen, I can't help that I am male, okay? And I can't help that I was invited onto a show. That show has two male hosts. And then they brought up the topic of a definition of a woman. So I don't think it's the same as when we say, hey, here's a panel of exclusively 70-year-old white men deciding what the rules on abortion should be from a legislative standpoint. I'm with you there. Where are the women's voices? It doesn't make any sense. I was just on a show and the topic came up. OK, so let's take it easy. Let's not go crazy here. We have such a great bonus show for you today. Number one, big oil is cashing in. And we're going to talk about surging big oil profits, where they come from. It's not as simple as the price of oil is up and so they make more money. It's actually more complicated than that. And we'll talk about that on today's bonus show. Secondly, the Taliban, which some on the left and right like to say is a much more moderate influence within Islam, is now ordering women to be covered head to toe in public at all times, period. So not exactly the progressive inflows that some were hoping for from the Taliban. And then lastly, it's insane that this is actually becoming an issue, but it is. The death penalty for those who get abortions is becoming a major issue in a Republican runoff in the state of Texas. I've mentioned this once before, I think it was a few weeks ago, and it's growing as an issue, and we're going to talk about it on today's bonus show. Get access to the bonus show so easily by signing up at joinpacman.com.
Oh, the bonus show where you want to make money, but everybody else that makes money to fund themselves is bad.
Yeah, Alex Jones does not like the bonus show. He finds it predatory.
That is a freaking predator right there.
I love the bonus show, and many of our members around the world do. So I encourage you to sign up at joinpacman.com. And then lastly, remember, if you're absolutely not willing to sign up today, Monday, May 30, Memorial Day, a lot of M's. We are doing a 1-day insane membership blowout. The reason I'm doing it on a federal holiday is if my accountant knew about this, he would never let me do it. If my lawyer knew about this, he would drop me as a client. We are doing a massive membership blowout on May 30th. I expect to run out of memberships. And if you want to be notified about that, you can get on my mailing list at davidpacman.com. davidpacman.com. Get on the mailing list, get the bonus show. I will see you then, or otherwise we will be back here and together again.
Hello, my fellow Americans. I would just like to say now, as an expert on the subject, that WRCT Pittsburgh does not blow. Thank you.
Holocaust. It's a very serious problem, and one that faces all of us. Fortunately, here at WRCT Pittsburgh, we broadcast from a steel-reinforced concrete basement. So we'll be playing music long after your sorry corpse has evaporated in a blinding flash of light and heat. I hope this thought comforts you. WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Now and forever.
DJ Haim from Forest, and you're listening to 88.3 WRCT.
Hey there, folks. Glad you could join me for all the best, the smoothest of the smooth. the cool and gentle sounds of what we call jazz. Tired of the fluffy stuff? At WRCT Pittsburgh, jazz is a one-syllable word.
Depose from the faint. Do you think I'm hot? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
For those of you concerned with your health and the new USDA organic product standards, WRCT Pittsburgh would like to inform you that all our DJs are genetically modified to bring you best music.
RCT, in sound, from way out.
Yo, what's up? How y'all doing out there in Techno Land? RCT Techno DJs in the house. Oh yeah, bringing you the only fat beats in Pittsburgh, right here on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM, word to your mother.
RCT Pittsburgh, meaty and full of flavor since 1949. WRCT Pittsburgh. Meaty and full of flavor since 1940.
For those of you concerned with your health and the new USDA organic product standards, WRCT Pittsburgh would like to inform you that all our DJs are genetically modified to bring you best music.
Yo, what's up? How y'all doing out there in Techno Land? RCT Techno DJs in the house. Oh yeah, bringing you the only fat beats in Pittsburgh. Right here on WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Word to your mother.
Depose from the faint. Do you think I'm hot? You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
Nuclear Holocaust. It's a very serious problem, and one that faces all of us. Fortunately, here at WRCT Pittsburgh, we broadcast from a steel-reinforced concrete basement. So we'll be playing music long after your sorry corpse has evaporated in a blinding flash of light and heat. I hope this thought comforts you. WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. Now and forever.
Hey there, folks. Glad you could join me for all the best, the smoothest of the smooth, the cool and gentle sounds of what we call, jazz.
Tired of the fluffy stuff? At WRCT Pittsburgh, jazz is a one-syllable word.
Would you like to take the sounds of your favorite radio station to places you never thought possible? Well, now you can, because WRCT is live on the internet. Just point your browser to www.wrct.org and click on our live MP3 broadcast. Now you can go out of town without any feelings of loss or regret for leaving us behind, because we're just a mouse click away. WRCT, live on the internet, because Why should Pittsburgh have all the fun?
Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
This is a corrupted government. The present regime of Gotabaya Rajapaksa is corrupted, so much so that we don't even have basic health facilities in Sri Lanka. So we are protesting to tell him to step down.
Sri Lanka's prime minister resigns as the government grants emergency powers to its military, which has cracked down on protests. Hundreds have been injured, at least five killed. We'll go to Sri Lanka for the latest. Then the Pulitzer Prizes have been announced. Among those who won, acclaimed journalist Maria Hinojosa for her podcast Suave, about a man sentenced to life in prison as a 17-year-old and how she chronicled his story all the way to unexpected freedom.
I got a date to go home. I got a date to go home, dog. November 20th.
Oh, my God, Suave.
And we'll speak with historian and 2019 MacArthur Genius Fellow Kelly Lytle Hernandez. Her new book out today, Bad Mexicans, Race, Empire, and Revolution in the Borderlands.
Bad Mexicans tells the story of a group of Mexican dissidents who came to the United States in the early 20th century to stir up a revolution against the dictator back in Mexico. It chronicles them rebuilding their social movement here in the United States and how the dictator in Mexico worked really closely with the United States government, the Department of War, the Immigration Service, Department of Labor, and others to suppress their movement.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Russian missiles fell on the Ukrainian port city of Odessa overnight, destroying a shopping mall and two hotels, leaving at least one person dead. The assault came as Russian forces reportedly crossed a key river in eastern Ukraine's Luhansk region as they seek to cut Ukrainian supply lines. In Mariupol, Russian troops commemorated Victory Day Monday with a march to the streets of the occupied city, joined by pro-Russia separatists. The parade came as Russian jets continued to bomb the massive Azovstal steel plant, where hundreds of Ukrainian soldiers remain holed up. Ukrainian officials say 100 civilians are continuing to shelter in tunnels under the plant, contradicting earlier reports that the last civilians had managed to leave. In Warsaw, Poland, protesters surrounded Russia's ambassador to Poland Monday and doused him in red paint as he prepared to lay flowers at a monument to Soviet soldiers who died defeating Nazi Germany in World War II.
I think that they did not have to come today and put flowers at the monument because they are aggressors in Ukraine. They can't do this. Ukrainians are with me today. A man from Belarus is with us. We all want there to be no more war.
The Russian embassy filed a formal protest and blasted the Polish demonstrators as admirers of neo-Nazism, unquote. In Russia, unknown hackers altered satellite and cable television menus to display anti-war messages Monday before Russian censors were able to take them down. The messages read in Russian, quote, "You have the blood of thousands of Ukrainians and hundreds of dead children on your hands. The TV and the authorities are lying. No to war," they said. President Biden signed a bill to speed up U.S. shipments of weapons and ammunition to Ukraine. The bill revives the 1941 Lend-Lease Act, which the U.S. used to arm Britain and other allies against Nazi Germany during World War II.
The cost of the fight is not cheap, but caving to aggression is even more costly. That's why we're staying in this.
Biden said